In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. Saint Faustina, pray for us. Saint our blessed Silos, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is the Luis and the Mediatrics of All Divine Life, Part 1, page 3, bottom of the page, volume 12, 3, March 2nd, 1921. My daughter, Luisa, be cheered. Come into my divine will. Okay, so again, what we see is that when you're worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, negative, you're outside of the divine will. And what Jesus does is he's showing us about Luisa when she's upset about anything, when she's worried about anything. He says, be cheered, be cheerful, be happy. Come into my divine will. And the only way that we can do this is by reading the volumes. So when we're worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative, when we're sinning, Jesus says, come into my divine will. Pick up the volumes and start reading. Now, there's many, many things that we can read. We have the calendar. We have all the 36 volumes. We have the books that we can read at any time. The Virgin Mary, the King of the Divine Will, the hours, 24 hours of the Passion. Be attentive. You must know. There's many things that we can begin to read, and it doesn't matter what you begin to read. Read. This will get you out of your human will, your human misery. And this is what Jesus is saying. He says, come into my divine will. Then he says, I choose you, Luisa, amongst thousands and thousands. So this helps us understand that as we read, God has given this to one person. The gift is given to Luisa, and God is asking us to participate in this. He says, I've chosen you among thousands and thousands so that my most holy divine will may have full completion in you, Luisa, so that you, Luisa, may be like a rainbow of peace, which with its seven colors attracts others to live in my most holy divine will. So the one that brings us into the divine will is Luisa. He says, full completion is in Luisa. This is rainbow of peace. The first rainbow of peace came after the flood. And God promised that he would not destroy the whole world again. And then what you see is the seven colors of like the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. You look at the gay flag, it's got six colors. And it's one less than perfection. And it's on purpose. They are proud of this. Yet the true rainbow has seven colors, and the color that they don't have is indigo, and that represents the Blessed Mother. The devil hates the Blessed Mother. So you can have a rainbow on your car, but just make sure it's seven colors, not six. Six shows the sign of the evil one. Seven shows perfection. So again, there's nothing wrong with a rainbow. And he says, this rainbow will attract other souls to live in my most holy divine will. So here God is offering this to us, and he's saying, I want you to be like Noah. This is what he says to Luisa. I want you to be like Noah's family, to begin again the human race. And this is what's happening, but even more so than Noah, because Noah had the fallen nature. And with this gift of the divine will, it's the prodigy of prodigies. And that's Luisa Picaretta and the great gift of the divine will, which is the true life of Jesus and the true life of Mary. So our God is asking us to enter into this abundant life. Our God is asking us to begin to possess the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. So again, as we said before, the four stages. The first stage is you're inside a house with the windows closed. That's Protestantism. They love Jesus. They say they worship Jesus. They say their songs are great. Their praise is great. but they don't have sacrifice because they don't have true worship because they don't have sacrifice. So in the church, it's the second stage. The windows are open, and the sun comes in, and this is the dogma and doctrine of our faith. It is everything that the church has taught us. We have the sacraments, we have the sacramentals, we have the Blessed Mother, we have everything at our disposal. And Jesus says this is the medicine that he has given to the church to help us along this way of suffering, this valley of death, this sadness that we're in, this sorrow that we're in. And then he says the third stage is to go outside, and that is what we have with the Book of Heaven. As you read, as you study, as you put this into practice, you begin to live the life that Adam had before the fall. This is what Jesus gave to Louisa. You're outside. It's not just looking through a window, looking to your extreme left or extreme right. You're looking up or down through a window. It's to be outside. And what is out there? It's the rivers, the lakes, the mountains, the plains, the plateaus. Everything is out there. The fields are out there. The oceans, everything is out there. And Jesus is asking us to begin to live this life of paradise. And that's what we have with this Book of Heaven. Now, the religious life is, inside the house, looking through the window, maybe putting a plant in the window so you could grow something. And that's what the saints have taught us. Yet now Jesus is saying, I want you to enter into the third stage of this gift of the divine will, which is being freed of all that is that you're enclosed in, to enter into this garden again. Then the fourth stage is finally where we will let go of the things of earth. There will be no more sin, no more sorrow, no more sadness, no more sickness. And you will enter into the sun, penetrating into the sun to participate in God. This is what the priest says every day, a holy mass, put in the drop of water into the chalice, may we share in divinity, as Christ humbled himself to share in our humanity. So what God is asking of us, he's asking us to let go, be outside, basically. Not outside the church, but to enter into the fullness of the garden, to begin to experience the I love yous in every leaf on a tree, every blade of grass, every grain of sand, every drop of water. So he says the senses were made for God. So he wants us to see, smell, taste, hear, touch the I love you of God. It's not what the saints have shown us. The saints have shown us how to be good and holy and saintly from a human perspective, a human saintly perspective. But being outside, Jesus is saying, I want you to enter into my life, my mother's life, to begin to experience the I love you of God in all of creation and all of redemption. And so this is what God is asking of us. So when we're upset, you might be good and holy and saintly, but upset about certain things. And Jesus says that's what the saints have gone through, because you're not outside yet. You haven't experienced the paradise. You haven't, as Our Lady of Revelation said to Bruno, time has now come to an end. God wants us to be out there in paradise. And that you don't have to be trapped inside, limited. God wants us to go outside to experience the I love you of God that we can let go of everything of the earth and enter into the sun. So that's what Jesus is waiting for. So again, he shows us very clearly. He says Louisa was chosen. Louisa has the full completion of the divine will in her. Louisa's a rainbow of peace. Louisa has the seven colors, this perfection of God. And by this gift that she has written in the Book of Heaven, will attract other souls to live in God's holy divine will. So he says, therefore, let us leave the earth aside. And you see what Jesus is saying? Louisa's experiencing, again, this is volume 12. Louisa's experiencing how to live in the divine will at this point, through the power of the Holy Spirit. And he says to her, let us leave the earth aside. Okay, so when we look at our life, it's like our life is like an onion. If you think about it, it's, you know, we're interested in this and interested in that and doing this and doing that. And what Jesus does is he peels each layer off from us. All the worry, the fear, the anxiety, the complaints, the negativity, the sin, he peels that all away from us. He isolates us. He puts us alone to get to the point of nothing. There's nothing in the center of an onion. And to use this, to let God free us from ourselves, it's to live in our nothingness. Okay, so what happens is, it's not to go to a pit and say, oh, here, now I finally got down to the pit. You know, no, it's to have God peel away everything from us. So in our lives, people are separated from us. Talent is separated from us. Reputations are separated from us. Everything falls apart, and humanly speaking. Yet this is good. And this is where we have to learn to say fiat in all situations. The more we can say fiat as God strips us, as he peels another layer off from us. He's saying, I you're cluttered. He says, you know, your thoughts, your words, your deeds are cluttering you. What you dream of, what you want to possess is limiting you from me. He says, you got to live in your nothingness. And that means completely peeled away, nothing there. That all that is there is God now can use what he can bring about the miracle as a God to bring about a new beginning for nothing, to live in our nothingness. And this is what God is looking for. So he says, let us leave the earth aside. So we have to look at, and this is the great thing about Lent. I told you about when I was in the minor seminary, they told us, this priest said, give up something each year. And by the time you're 80, you have given up everything. And you can then give up your heartbeat. You then can give up your breath. You then can you're totally surrendered to God because nothing belongs to you. Everything is of God. And I think that's what we have to do. In giving up things, you know, the more that we give up, and it's not, you know, Scripture says we look for a one who gives with happiness, with delight, not a giver who is upset about giving. All right, I'll give you this then. Okay, you want this, God? Okay, I'll give you that. No, it's not like that. It's, okay, what do you want me to be free of? What do you want me to be separated from? And that could be family, friends, neighbors, coworkers, parishioners. It could be your reputation, like I said. It could be talent. It could be your hobby, your hobbies. What God does is he says, are you done with us yet? Are you going to focus on me? Leave the things of earth, he said. Put that aside. So we have to look at our life, especially in the divine will. What are we still longing for on earth? And the Lord says, you know, you got to get ready. Time is very short. Time is very, very short. If you haven't given it up, then you have to go to purgatory. You have to be purged of it. So when we learn to say fiat, when we learn to go to Louisa, when we learn to read the Book of Heaven, this becomes our everything. It really becomes our everything. Everything else is gone. He says, up to now, until now, I, God, have kept you, Luis, with me in order to appease my divine justice and prevent greater chastisements from being poured upon the earth. Now, this is 1921. She's gone through World War I. And he says, because of what we have done, you're with me because basically the greatest chastisement has to come to earth. And he says, you're appeasing my divine justice by suffering. You have prevented greater chastisements from being poured out upon the earth. Okay, what does that mean? Well, what he said to Louisa is this chastisement that's coming is so horrible that the large majority of humanity will be wiped off the face of the earth. Number one, that's what he says. It's going to happen. The three purifications. The first purification was the flood, and eight people were saved. The second was the purification. Jesus shed every drop of blood, and he purified all the world. The world was purified by the blood of Jesus. The third purification is of fire, and that is the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary, giving the love of Jesus and Mary to all the world. That's what's coming. Jesus says, this love is so pure that if there's any evil in anybody, a sliver of evil, you will be wailing and grinding your teeth. See, God is asking us to be perfect, not just try to be perfect. So the thing that he says, number one, there will be a great chastisement upon the earth. Number two, he says, my mother is traveling all the earth, visiting every community, every religious house, and she's marking her children. What does that mean? That means the souls who are praying the rosary, the souls that are wearing the scapular, don't think that you're a child of Mary without the scapular, without the rosary. You have to have a love for the Blessed Mother to the point that she becomes your mother. And you take her as John did, you take care of the Blessed Mother. You make sure that she's honored. You make sure that, you know, where she is, outside or inside, there's reverence to her. She's Theotokos. She's the Mother of God. So she's marking her children, and we want to be children of Mary. Number three, he says, the children of the divine will, these are the ones that are marked, will have the chastisement will have little or no effect upon them. Okay, so that's a great blessing. You know, if you are a child of the divine will, if you're really striving to read and study and put this great gift into practice, nothing is going to happen to you. Guaranteed. And then he said, fourthly, this proves it, the survivors of this great chastisement will be the little children in the holy divine will. So God says what's coming has never been seen before and will never be seen again. We get glimpses of what this possibly could be. You know, Jesus says to Louisa, I have to release all the demons because this is what mankind wants. And there will be the remnant who will embrace Louisa, Jesus, Mary, and Louisa. And there will be those that are not a part of the remnant. And they will reject Jesus, Mary, and Louisa. And therefore, God has to give them what they want. If you think about it, you know, we've produced in our country alone, since 1973, over 60 million babies have been murdered through abortion. 60 million. That's how many died in World War II. And we happily, through law, killed them. And again, the blood of the saints, the blood of the children, says, screams out for vengeance. So God has to give the earth what they want. Now that's just that. We're not talking about Sodom and Gomorrah. We're not talking about living alternative lifestyles. We're not talking about drugs and alcohol, which, you know, destroy people. See, God has to give everybody what they want. What did that one person I was just talking to said It was on the internet. She said that when they drank, the demons were released. All that the devil wanted was just to have them drink, and the demons were released. This is something that, you know, there's nothing wrong with alcohol, but it can become an addiction, and it could lead to death, spiritual death first. Again, drugs too. I don't know how many people and how many families are, as almost everybody's family is involved in drugs somehow. Oxycontin was developed by the Rothschilds, and they made a lot of money. They're still making a lot of money on it. And it's an addictive thing that you don't have to take too many pills to be addicted to it. There's so many things that are going on, you know, in the world that Jesus has to give everybody what they want. Now, how many want Jesus? How many want Mary? How many want Louisa? God has to give them those souls what they want. Okay, so what does that mean? Do you want Jesus part of the day when you're praying? Or is Jesus, does Jesus become everything for you? Is on Sundays, for example, you know, is television part of your life? Is you know, sports part of your? If sports on Sunday, it says to Jesus basically, you're not entertaining. You know, I want to be entertained, and therefore my God, who I worship on Sunday, is sports, entertainment. And again, as Catholics, we have to be disciplined, and we have to say, no, Sunday is the Lord's day. Sunday is God's day, and I will not take it as my own. I will not make it another Saturday. And again, you'll be mocked and ridiculed and laughed at and spit upon and rejected by your family. You know, God. I remember the people would say, God didn't say that. You can have fun on Sunday. Well, okay, number one, we have to keep holy the Sabbath and making God our everything. And that's what the divine will does. As you read the divine will, you fall more in love with Jesus, more in love with Mary. So again, he says, now let us allow the current of human evil to run. So Jesus is saying, I'm going to let everybody have what they want. You want drugs, you want alcohol, you want premarital sex, you want homosexuality, you want whatever. What do you want? Jesus says, I gave the devil hell because that's what he wanted. What do you want? Do you want hell? Do you want your freedom? Or do you want to let God take away from you all that's been cluttering your life? You know, your hobbies, your games, your, you know, whatever you're addicted to, television, newspaper, magazines, food, whatever it is. Are you going to let God strip you of that, free you of that? So he says, now let us allow the current of the human evil to run. You have to understand, what's happening today is not by chance. This is so evil. Somebody said that to me the other day. It's so evil out there. Yes. Why? Because Jesus says, I am going to allow the current of human evil to run. To what? To take control of everything. I want you, Louisa, with me. And if we are with Louisa, Jesus says, I want you who are linked to Louisa and my be linked to me as Louisa is with me and my mother. I want you also to be with me. So again, he's freeing us of the world, the flesh, and the devil. He's freeing us of our intellect, memory, and will. He's freeing us of what we think, say, and do. And that's what God is doing. He's saying, if you're with me, you have heaven. If you're with me, you are totally happy, totally peaceful, totally joyful. And that's what he's saying. He says, in my holy divine will, to be occupied with what? Preparing the new era of my most holy divine will. See, that's what God is waiting for. He's waiting for us to cooperate with him so much that we are one with Louisa. So when in your prayers, as you begin your prevenient act in the morning, as you wake up, everything that I think, say, and do, Lord, I surrender to you. I want you, Lord, to breathe in my breathing, beat in my heart beating. I don't want to do anything today without you. You be my Lord, my Savior, my Master, my King. You be my God, you may be my all, everything. I want you, Lord, I want you to breathe in my breathing as if you were, you know, you are doing this. And Jesus says, then I will do it. And then we take a breath and it seems like we're breathing, but it's Jesus that is breathing. He says, I'm alive on earth again. Be with your fiat. Jesus walk in my walking. Jesus gaze in my gazing. Jesus hear in my hearing. Jesus dance in my dancing. Whatever you're doing. In the name of every human being, past, present, and future. So that everyone will adore you and love you and praise you and thank you for operating in them. God alive in them. It's not me, it's not them, it's you, Jesus. You and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, reigning in them to prepare this new era of living in the most holy divine will. To prepare for this new era where most of mankind, Jesus says, cannot stop having their human will be in charge. Most people are, the human will is so strong that they can't do this. So he says, would you do it for them? Would you stand in the breach as Moses stood in the breach for the Israelites? But I want you to stand in the breach for every person, past, present, and future, not just your family, not just your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, not just your parishioners. I want you to begin to live this abundant life. Will you do this for me? Will you do this for them? See, our job is not to be good and holy and saintly. It's to save the human generations. To be good and holy and saintly, that's what the saints were given. That's what you find in volume 1 through volume 10. What Jesus is now asking us is to live in the divine will as Jesus lived in the divine will, as Mary lived in the divine will, so that we can enter into 20 through 36 to receive the divine inheritance of the Father. So he's asking us, would you be willing to do this? Would you be willing to sacrifice your life so that others will be able to possess this? Our response is immediate fiat. Yes, of course, this is what you want. This is what I want to do. Because why? You want me to do this. So it's not about trying to be good, trying to be holy, trying to be saintly. No, it's saving the human generations, Jesus says. It's to get everyone ready for the new era. So he says, you have to be occupied with this. So that goes back to reading the volumes. The volumes have to become everything for you. Jesus is looking. Are the newspapers more important than the Book of Heaven? Is television more important than the Book of Heaven? Is radio more important than the Book of Heaven? You know, this is what he's saying. Are you reading this, Jesus is saying? Are you studying this, Jesus is saying? Are you putting this into practice? Are you occupying yourself with preparing for this new era of the most holy divine will? Again, what's coming is so magnificent. No eye is seen, no ear is heard. All that Jesus is asking of us is to give our fiat. So Jesus says, as you move forward on the path of my most holy divine will, the rainbow of peace shall form. Okay, so this seven-colored rainbow you could put in on your car window. And it's not six. There's nothing wrong with that. And this will help you understand that you are standing in their place, the other rainbow. You are saying to Jesus, I want them who want to live alternative lifestyles to be in heaven with you, Lord. I want to repair. I want to redo what everybody has done against you. So again, you could do this with a big smile. It's move forward on the path of my most holy divine will, Jesus says. The rainbow of peace shall form, which shall form the link of connection between the human will and the divine will and the human will. So this is what Scripture says. Heaven and earth is going to kiss. It's what Jesus has done. This is why we wear the ring, the wedding ring. Jesus has proposed to us. It's heaven and earth are going to kiss. He says the kingdom of heaven is like a wedding feast for all eternity. It's where God and man become one. Heaven and earth become one. He says, I want earth to be no different than heaven. I want the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. So again, as he gave the rainbow of peace to Noah, he's the first purification. It's now this rainbow of peace, if you want to say, is on fire. It's more. It's not just something that you see in the sky because of a mist and the sun raining through that mist. It's fire. It's a fiery mist. So again, if you can develop or produce a rainbow that's on fire, I would say that is what it is. It's the link. You are the link, Louisa, of the love between heaven and earth and heaven. You, Louisa, bring this kiss of heaven to earth. You bring the kiss of earth to heaven. And again, it's nothing that you've seen before. So if you think about the last has to be fire, okay, and there will be a rainbow of peace. Just think of fire on a rainbow. It's got to be glorious. It's got to be magnificent. He says very clearly, from this connection of the earth, the divine will and the human will, my most holy divine will shall live on earth. Because of you, Louisa, my most holy divine will shall have life on earth. My holy divine will shall be the beginning of the fulfillment of my prayer, the prayer of the whole church. May your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because of Louisa, because of the Book of Heaven, he says, my divine will have life on earth because of Louisa, and it will begin the fulfillment of the Our Father. Volume 12, 3, 23, 21. And then Jesus said to me, my daughter Louisa, my most holy divine will has the special virtue of rendering souls little, making them become so little that they feel the extreme need for my most holy divine will to administer life to them. Okay, think about the onion again. God is going to peel everything away from us. No more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety. When we're worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative, we're saying to Jesus, you're not doing enough work on me. You're not taking enough away from me. And so God says, okay, get out of my way. Let me do this. What happens? My divine will has the special virtue of rendering souls little, making them become so little, nothing, that they feel the extreme need for my most holy divine will to administer life to them. See, there's no life outside the divine will. We have no life outside the divine will. Now think about the demons. The demons are living dead. Okay? When they are expelled from a human because of the possession is over, they go to a person, a place, and a thing. They have to go somewhere to possess some sort of life. I mean, look at the man that was healed by Jesus. The legion was in him, and 1,000 pigs, two legions, ran down the hill and drowned. See, the demons destroy. Think about this. When God begins to take everything away from us, okay, that we have nothing of the earth, all we have is God. We go to God. God possesses us. Image and likeness. It's the complete opposite of what the demons. The demons have no life. God strips us of everything to give us divine life. And that's what it says. You feel the extreme need, what? To read the Book of Heaven, which will administer life to you. So he says, these souls, the little children of the Holy Divine Will, the littleness is such that they are unable to make one act or take one step if my most holy divine will does not administer that act or that step to them. Come, divine will, come walk in my walking. Come, divine will, come think in my thinking. Come, divine will, come pray in my praying. So they live completely at the expense of my holy divine will, again, being possessed by God. Because their littleness carries no baggage. There's nothing there, neither the things of their own or of love of self, or rather they take everything from my most holy divine will, and not to keep it for themselves, but to give it back to me. That's what you breathe in the I love you, you breathe out the I love you. Your heart pumps blood into your heart and it's I love you. The blood pumps out of your heart, I love you. You take one step. I love you. God says to you, I love you. I love you. I love you. It's sharing. It's constant. The waves coming into the shore, the waves going out. Rather, they take everything from my most holy divine will, and not to keep it for themselves, but to give it back to me. And since they need everything, we are nothing. We need everything from God. They live dissolved in my most holy divine will. We are that drop of water that the priest puts in the cup filled with wine. It fuses and diffuses, and that drop of water becomes wine. They live dissolved in my most holy divine will. You see what God is calling us to. He's saying, you know, I've saved the best for last. I want you to enter into the Son of the divine will, participating in the eternal light of God. Nothing for yourself, but all for God. Do you see what God is doing? This is why it's so important. Listen, she says, I went around the earth over and over again. Jesus says, listen, I went around the earth over and over again. Jesus says, I looked at all creatures one by one in order to find the littlest of all. And among many, I found you, Louisa, the littlest of everyone. I liked your littleness and I chose you, Louisa. I entrusted to you, Louisa, my holy angels, so that they might keep you and not make you grow, but to preserve your littleness. Do you see what Jesus is doing? He's saying this for us. You want what I gave to Louisa? You have to be like Louisa. You have to have the spiritual DNA of Louisa. You have to look like her. You have to be little, insignificant, and hidden. And those are the words of Father Bucci. He says, to live in the divine will, it's nothing for you. It's not to write books. It's not to be known. It's not to be famous and make money. It's nothing to do with that. It's nothing to do with the earth. It's to be little, hidden, and insignificant. The more little we are, the more hidden we are, the more insignificant we are, God is happy. Rejection from your friends, your family, your neighbor, your whatever, is protection. God wants this to happen in order to make you little, littler. Humiliation is important, to be humiliated, because that brings about humility. Jesus says this really, really, very, very clear. I want my angels to work with you like they did with Louisa, to keep you little so that you won't grow. I want to preserve you in your littleness. Okay, what does that mean? That means you go to your room, close the door, and pray. You become one with Jesus. You accept his wedding proposal. You begin to get your wedding dress ironed and cleaned. Get ready for God. It's very, very important. This is not a game. And now he says, Jesus, I, God, want to begin the great work of the fulfillment of my whole, most holy divine will. Nor shall you feel greater because of this. On the contrary, my most holy divine will shall make you even smaller. See, this is what Louisa kept on saying. I don't want to be known. I don't want to be known. I want to be hidden. God says, you will be. Nobody's going to know how amazing you are. He says the angels and the saints are going to see the power of God, the love of God, the strength of God, the wisdom of God, the glory of God in this little newborn. And the world at this point, they'll only see an old woman in bed. He says, but the little children of the Holy Divine will see their little mama. This is what Jesus is waiting for. He's waiting for us to recognize Louisa, not as this old woman in bed, but as the one who has prepared the way for this new era that God is calling us to live. Again, it's very, 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 very important. He says, you will not feel greater because of this. On the contrary, in my most holy divine will, I, God, will make you even smaller. And you, Louisa, shall continue to be the little daughter of your Jesus, the little daughter of my most holy divine will. What is he saying? You're going to be my little nothing where I, God, can reign. Volume 13, 10, 21, 21. Like a wheel, eternity spins around you, Luisa Picaretta, so that you, Luisa, may take part in everything and nothing may escape you, Luisa. And this, so that my most holy divine will may remain honored and fully glorified in you, Luisa. Where's the will of God? It's found in Luisa. Eternity spins around you, Luisa. Now think about this. Our Lady said to Bruno, time has now come to an end. She says, my children are going to live in eternity. Eternity spins around Luisa. The devil and his children will always be trapped in time and space, never entering into the beatific vision. We are called to enter into eternity. Eternity spins around Luisa Picaretta. She takes part in everything. Nothing escapes Luisa. Why? Because when this happens, Jesus says, my most holy divine will remains honored and fully glorified in Luisa Picaretta. I, God, want the first daughter of my holy divine will to lack nothing, not one distinction that belongs to me and my mother, which may make Luisa be distinguished before the whole of heaven as the first beginning of the divine sanctity of living in my most holy divine will. Luisa's, see, this is, you know, we have not seen anything yet. When we see Luisa, every Muslim, every Buddhist, every Hindu, every Jew, every Protestant is going to say, I want to be a baptized Catholic. Because they're going to see Luisa living this life, this universal life that Adam possessed. So he says, therefore, Luisa, be attentive and never leave my holy divine will. Never go out of my holy divine will. Why? So that you may receive all the fragrances of my divinity. It's to smell Luisa is just to smell divine God, to smell God, the fragrances of God. I mean, that's just with our nostrils. When we hear Luisa, we're going to hear divinity. When we see Luisa, we're going to see divinity. I mean, this is what God's got planned. So that, he says, letting all that is yours come out, again, this is now divinity, I, God, may confirm that everything of you is mine. Everything is divine. Do you see why the Muslims, the Buddhists, the Hindus, everybody's going to say, I want this universal life. I see a human living this abundant life. I want to possess this abundant life. But Jesus has given it to us at this point. And he's saying, do you understand how amazing? Do you have to wait until I bring this about? If you wait until I bring this about, you've waited too long. You have to begin to live this life now. You have to begin to possess this life now. He says, and my most holy divine will may remain in you, Luisa, as center of divine life. So where is God's holy divine will centered in? In Luisa. Where's divine life centered in? In Luisa. Where's the divine fragrances of God, Luisa, of God is found in Luisa. Everything now is found in Luisa. She now possesses the true life of Jesus and the true life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. This is why she's the firstborn. This is why she's the newborn of the divine will. And our God is asking us, pleading with us, to really begin to live this abundant life. And he's waiting for us to give our fiat. He's waiting for us to say yes. So we say fiat. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.